girls, and he was one of them. Soon, Dean was going to ask for sex. Soon, I was going to agree. I would be happy to give him my V-card if not for the nagging feeling that this was just another cruel, vicious joke. Surely Dean wasn't hateful enough to date me just so Vicious could make fun of me later. No, he seemed genuine. The sweet messages, the coffee he brought me every morning when we met at school, the late-night phone calls, the kisses. When he'd first asked me for a date months ago, I'd politely declined. He'd persisted. For weeks and weeks, he'd waited next to my locker, beside my bike, and outside my family's apartment at the estate. He was relentless and focused, yet kind and sweet. Said that he promised not to touch me until I was ready. Said I shouldn't judge him based on his reputation. And claimed to have a 10-inch dick, which meant absolutely nothing to this virgin. I might have playfully punched his arm for the latter. But I was lonely, and he was cute and nice to me. Having someone was better than having no one. Sometimes doubt still crept into my mind. The hotholes didn't have the best reputation. Even worse, I had unresolved feelings toward his good friend. Granted, most of those feelings were negative, but still. As if sensing my wall of defensiveness going up, Dean leaned into me on my narrow single bed and pressed his lips to my temple. I really like you, Millie. I really like you too, I sighed, rubbing his cheek with my thumb. I'd spoken the truth. The feelings he stirred in me, they were positive, safe, but they weren't wild. They didn't drive me crazy, and they didn't make me want to act irrationally and unlike myself. Which was good, I think. All your friends are out there. I'm sure you want to hang out with them. I nudged him softly. You don't have to choose between me and your parties. But that wasn't the whole truth, and we both knew it. I'd rather stay here with you, he said, lacing his fingers through mine. We both looked at our hands, silently contemplating our next step. The atmosphere shifted into something heavy that pressed on my chest, making it hard to breathe. Then I'll come with you. I mustered a smile. I didn't like Vicious's parties, but for Dean, I was willing to show my face, even though it was a face no one wanted to see. People at school still thought of me as an inbred hillbilly. But now I was no longer bullied. Once it became known that I was hooking up with Dean Cole, no one dared to stuff crap in my locker or mutter hateful words when I walked by. Even though it was difficult to admit, that was a big part of the reason why I liked spending time with my new boyfriend. He made life easier, nicer, safer. I wasn't using him by any stretch of the imagination. I cared about him. Helped him with his homework, left good luck sketches in his locker last fall before football games, and smiled like a loon every time he walked by me in the hall this winter. You'd do that for me, babe? An easy smile spread across his face. Out of the four of them, Dean was probably the stoner. He seemed to take everything in stride, including our relationship. I knew you were perf. He was already up on his feet, pulling me by the hand. Now hurry up, babe. I'm dying for a beer, and I've got some killer bud. Trent and Vicious are gonna shit themselves. I flashed Dean a weak smile through my reflection in my small mirror as I fixed my hair. I liked my hair messy, but no matter what I tried to tell myself, I cared what people thought. I cared, and like everybody else, I wanted to be liked. I was wearing a creamy, oversized sweater, cropped to midriff and falling off one shoulder, and a pair of cut-off denim shorts. I slipped into my black and pink flowered boots and chuckled when he jerked me to his body and kissed me hard again. I pulled away after a few seconds, wiping our saliva from my mouth. After you, I said. He stopped, his brow furrowing, a serious expression on his face. I love that you want to make me happy. Wherever we're going next year, we're going together. Got it? He was staring at me like I was the sunrise. It felt nice. So nice. I allowed myself to bathe in his warmth, even though it wasn't mine to take. "Yeah, Mr. Caveman, got it." I rolled my eyes but smiled. He kissed me again. "So safe." He smacked my butt lightly. "Good, let's move it." I was ready to be happy with him. I really was. Last Night by the Strokes was pouring from the speakers as we shouldered our way through the drunken crowd. People were standing, dancing, and making out in Vicious's living room like they owned the place. When my family first started working here, I couldn't understand how his parents allowed him to throw these wild parties every weekend. Turned out they just didn't give a damn. Not about the parties, and definitely not about their son. Baron Sr. and his wife, Jo, were never around, especially not on weekends. It was my suspicion that Vicious lived by himself at least 70% of the time. I'd been there for over 4 months, and I could count on one hand the number of times I'd seen him interact with his father. I didn't even need one finger to count the times he'd interacted with his stepmother. I thought it was sad. But that was the exact same thing Vicious thought about my life. Dean and I spent some time in the giant kitchen with Dean tossing back shots, at least 5 or 6, before he motioned for me to go upstairs with him. I obliged, mainly because I felt weird hanging out in the kitchen where Mama worked, and anyway, I hadn't seen Rosie anywhere on the first floor. I was hoping she was upstairs somewhere. With any luck, without someone's tongue shoved into her mouth in one of the many bedrooms. It wouldn't be a big deal, and definitely not the first time I'd caught her making out with some random guy, but it always made me feel like a protective mama bear. Upstairs, Dean strode right through the door into the media room, while I hesitated outside, scanning to see if I could maybe spot my baby sister on the landing or in one of the hallways to the right and left. Truth was, I wasn't only looking for her. I was also looking to avoid the other hotholes. To say that they didn't like me was like saying the Pacific was slightly damp. They hated me, and I had no idea why. "Jamie, my man!" Dean slapped his good friend's back as he entered the inner circle of his friends inside. They were all standing with beers in their hands, talking animatedly, probably about sports. I stayed in the hallway with the rest of the rejects. I didn't want to go in and give Vicious the opportunity to scowl or say something crude in my direction. After a few minutes, Dean whipped his head toward the door and noticed I was still outside. I didn't particularly care, if I was being honest. I was talking to a girl named Madison, who also rode a bike to school every day. But she did it to get fit and thin, whereas I did it because I was poor and didn't have a car. We were talking bikes when Dean waved me over. "Babe, what are you doing out there?" He slurred on a hiccup. "Get your fine ass in here before I bite it." Madison stopped talking and gawked at me like they'd just called me on stage to receive a Nobel Prize. I disliked her at that particular moment. I shook my head. "Having fun right here, thanks." I smiled into my bottle of water, wishing I could disappear. I didn't want Vicious to notice me. "Fuck's going on here?" I heard Trent, beautiful, charming Trent Rexroth, who was a nice guy to everyone but me, grumbling from inside the circle. When he raised his eyes and saw me, he looked thunderstruck. "Jesus, Cole, you're such an idiot." Why was Dean an idiot? When Jamie noticed I was there, he pinched the bridge of his nose before shooting Dean a dirty look. "You just had to, huh? Douche." The circle broke, and I caught a glimpse of Vicious, his hip leaning against a desk, a beautiful girl I didn't know by his side. My chest hurt when I noticed how close he was to her. Still, he didn't touch her or even look at her. What he was looking at didn't surprise me. He was staring right at me. "That's my fucking girlfriend, man," Dean garbled to Trent, ignoring Jamie. "You better shut your pipe if you don't want that pretty face of yours ruined. He turned around, his steps wobbly and uneven, and shot me one of his panty-melting smiles. But his eyes were heavy with drowsiness and alcohol. "Millie, please?" He clasped his hands together, sinking down theatrically and walking the remaining way to the door on his knees. His dimples were on full display, but it did nothing to ease my embarrassment. I turned a nice shade of tomato red and buried my face in my hands, my fake beam so wide my cheeks hurt. "Dean," I groaned, squeezing my eyelids together. "Please get up." "That's not what you said just 20 minutes ago, babe. Actually, I think it was, 'Dean, does it ever go soft?'" He snorted out a laugh. I was no longer smiling. When my hands left my face, it completely wiped the grin off his face. Behind his back, Vicious sent me a death glare, his jaw ticking to the rhythm of my heartbeats. Tick, 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 tick. His lips were so thin they were practically invisible. The first step he took forward made me flinch. He cut through the mass of people in the media room toward the hallway in a few long strides and yanked Dean from the floor by the back of his collar. Dean spun in place, his face colored with surprise, and that's when Vicious slammed Dean's back against the nearest wall, twisting his designer white crew neck shirt.
"I told you not to bring her here,"
he whispered darkly, his lips barely moving. My heart stuttered in my chest.
"What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Dean pushed him away, taking a step forward, his every move laced with unrestrained adrenaline. They stared at each other for a moment too long. It made me think this was going to escalate to a fight, but Jamie and Trent stepped in. Trent pulled Dean toward the door, while Jamie shoved Vicious deeper into the room.
"Enough!"
Trent shouted at both of them. Jamie grabbed Vicious's arms, locking them behind his back. The rage radiating from both of them was thick in the air like suffocating smoke.
"Tennis court."
Vicious shook out of Jamie's hands and pointed at Dean, seething.
"This time, don't cry when I fuck you up, Cole."
I didn't want them to fight. Vicious had a reputation. He fought until he passed out. His arms had the scars to prove it. Trent rotated, marching in my direction and narrowing his gray eyes at me.
"Get the hell out of here,"
he commanded, his big body filling the doorframe, his eyes hooded.
He looked royally pissed off.
I couldn't see Dean or Vicious. Whatever was going on, it was a private matter I wasn't a part of. Dean and I had been together for a couple of months, but I knew the other hotholes wouldn't help me stop the fight. I'd be wasting my breath.
"When are you guys going to stop acting like I've got leprosy?"
I questioned in a low voice, folding my arms across my chest.
"Dean is my boyfriend, and y'all have literally never spoken a nice word to me. Why do y'all hate me so much?"
Trent shook his head, a bitter chuckle leaving his lips.
"Jesus, you really don't know?"
"I really don't."
My face heated again. Was it that obvious? Was I missing something that was colossally clear? When he leaned down, his face level with mine, I shivered.
"If you think you can rip us apart, you're wrong. Leave Vicious alone."
Leave Vicious alone?
My blood went from zero to boiling in a second, and I was ready to burst. Baron Spencer was everywhere. Where I lived, where I hung out, where I slept, and where I studied. That was fine and not his fault, but he didn't have to look at me the way he did, to talk about me the way he had. He didn't have to bark at me and mock me every chance he could. Leave him alone? No. I'd had enough. Vicious wasn't only in my life without my permission. He was in my veins, always close by, like a shadow, haunting me without really touching me every time he was close enough to grab me by the throat. Happy to. I don't want anything to do with the guy anyway.
Throwing a look of indifference in Trent's direction, I swiveled and stalked downstairs, through the kitchen and out the servants' entrance. I needed to find Rosie and tell her what had happened. She would make sense of it all. I was a little mad at Dean for making that crude joke. I was a lot mad at Vicious, Jamie, and Trent for acting like I was a North Korean dictator. They were obviously allergic to me, and though it was never my intention to become the modern-day Yoko Ono,
I was starting to believe breaking up with Dean was inevitable. The Hotholes were such a huge part of his life. They fought together, played football together, and partied together. If they didn't like Dean's girlfriend, me, that was a serious issue. I was tired of feeling like an STD they were trying not to catch every time I was near them. I deserved more. More respect, more patience, more acceptance. Just more. I headed for our apartment and flung the door open. The small living room, like my mood, was dark and cold. Mama and Daddy were already asleep, and when I opened Rosie's door, her room was depressingly empty. She was probably hanging out by the pool with some of her friends. Unlike me, she'd made a few of those at All Saints High, most people from neighboring, less affluent towns. I entered my room and slammed the door. Pulling my blanket over my head, I closed my eyes, wishing for sleep. I didn't even bother to crawl into my PJs, just kicked off my boots. I wanted the night to end and for tomorrow to swallow the memory of it whole. I tossed and turned, knowing full well I couldn't go to bed with all the music and shouting coming from outside. Lord only knew how my parents slept so peacefully through these parties. I stared at the ceiling, and it stared right back at me. I started thinking about Dean, but my thoughts quickly moved to Vicious. Vicious. Always ruining everything. Pinning me down, kicking me out, throwing me into an emotional twilight zone. My eyes fluttered in the dark, and I sighed. The door creaked. My heart stopped. I knew who it was. Rosie would have asked if she could come in. So would Dean. No, the only person who'd never bother knocking, even though he wasn't welcome anywhere near me. He'd walked into my parents' house like he owned it. Because he did. In his mind, I had no doubt, he owned me, too.
This shit stops now.
His voice echoed in my small room, dripping with ire. Rolling over in bed so my body faced the door, I felt my pulse beat against my throat. I took him in silently, my eyes roaming every part of his body. He leaned against the wall, glaring while I lay in my bed. My heart did something crazy in my chest, cartwheels or somersaults, I wasn't really sure. Because he had never been so close, never been in my territory. This was the first time he'd deliberately sought me out, and it didn't feel nice and safe. It felt divine, but dangerous. Even though I liked the notion of him looking at me while I was in bed, I rubbed my thighs, pushing myself to a sitting position, my back against the headboard. Sonic Youth's version of Superstar seeped through my window, and I got drunk on this one perfect moment. It felt like I'd won something, and I hated that I was flattered. Vicious always seemed so unaffected when it came to the opposite sex. I rarely saw him with the same girl, and he never visited any of his flings at their houses. It was just one of those facts of life every girl at school knew. Girls came to him, and not vice versa. Yet here he was, in my house, in my room, near my bed. Even if he'd come here just to threaten me some more, he'd still made the trip. I got to him. He was in my veins, but I'd managed to crawl under his skin. "To what do I owe this pleasure, Vicious?" I mocked. The words felt bitter on my tongue. I wasn't a meanie. Before we moved here, I was friendly, kind. Now, less so, but still incapable of deliberately hurting someone. The room was dark, but light poured in from the party outside, invading every inch of space that belonged to me. Except it actually belonged to him, and Vicious never let me forget that. He didn't even look at me. Just stared at a mural I'd painted on my wall. His wall, of a cherry blossom tree. His eyes were blank, turned off. I wanted to grab his shoulders and shake him, turn on the light inside him, make sure someone was home. Vicious rubbed his jaw, kicking my door shut behind him.
If you wanted my attention, congratulations, you've got it. Now break this Dean bullshit off.
I flung the blanket to the floor and bolted to my feet. My sweater slid down one shoulder and my plain white bra peeked out. I was too agitated to care. I pushed him with all the strength I could muster, not even a little worried about the consequences. His broad back bumped against the wall, but his expression remained cool. I took a step back, placing my hands on my hips. What's your problem with me, huh? What have I ever done to deserve this? I don't go in your house. I don't look you in the eye when I see you at school. I don't talk to you or about you. But it's not enough for you. Look, I don't want to be here either, okay? I never signed up to live in Todos Santos. That's all on my parents. They need the money. We need the money. Rosie has an illness and healthcare's better here. Not to mention this place is rent-free. Tell me what you want me to do that doesn't require my family being homeless, and I'll do it. But for Lord's sake, Vicious, leave me alone. I wasn't sure exactly when I began to cry, but hot, fat tears ran down my cheeks. I think I must have boiled to the point of overflow. I didn't like that he was seeing me like this, vulnerable and broken, but hoped it would inspire him to be a little less hateful to me. His eyes dragged slowly from the mural to me, his stare still vacant. I raked my fingers through my hair, frustrated. Don't make me be mean, I muttered. I don't want to hurt you.
Break up with him, he repeated, curt. Make it stop.
Make what stop? I frowned. He squeezed his eyes shut.
Emilia,
he warned. About what, I didn't know. But for once, he didn't refer to me as help. He makes me happy. I stood my ground, because who the hell was Vicious to tell me who to date?
He's not the only one who can make you happy.
He opened his eyes, and pushing off the wall, he took a step in my direction. My skin was on fire, and I knew what would soothe the burn away, like an aloe balm. But it was wrong, so wrong. So was him ordering me to stop dating Dean. Then why does a part of me feel pleased?
Ask me what I want again,
he snapped. His voice was ice rolling on my skin, leaving uncomfortable shivers of pleasure in its wake. No. I started walking backward, still facing him. He followed me, a predator stalking his prey, and he had the physical and psychological advantage over me. I was about to become his next meal, and I had no doubt in my mind. He was going to devour me.
Ask,
he breathed. My back had hit the opposite wall, and his arms came up around me, caging me in. I was trapped, and not only physically. I knew there was no way out, even if he'd stepped aside. What do you want? I gulped. I wanted him to make it stop, too, and I wasn't even sure what it was. But it was there. I felt it too.
I want to fuck you and watch your face while I do. To see how you drown in me as I hurt you as much as it hurts me to have to see your goddamn face every day.
I sucked in a breath. Not sure how to respond, I raised my hand to slap him across the face. He captured my wrist, stopping me before my palm reached his cheek, and shook his head slowly.
You need to earn the right to slap me pink, and you're not there yet.
Pink. My heart stuttered. I was horrified that he affected me this way. It seemed like no matter what he said to me, he always left a dent. In my brain, in my thoughts, making me dissect him. But with him here, admitting to wanting to have sex with me, something changed. We were flush against each other, and I was drunk on his scent and high on his face. And oh my lord, I knew we hadn't done anything. But it felt so much like cheating. Self-loathing made my stomach churn. I wiggled my wrist free, trying to push past him, but he wouldn't let me go.
Ask me what I want,
he ordered again, his pupils so wide his eyes were almost completely black. He was following me again, matching me step for step. My wrist was still clasped in his hand, and a part of me wanted to know what it'd feel like to fall into his claws. But this chase was going to end soon. The back of my knees hit my bed, and the hunt was over. What do you want? I obeyed him, asking the question not because I had to, but because I wanted to know what vile thing he'd say next. It was bad. It was immoral. And it was the moment I knew I should break up with Dean. I should have never agreed to date him in the first place.
I want you to kiss me back,
he whispered into my face, his breath tickling my cheek. So close. But you... He shut me up by slamming his lips on mine. They were warm and sweet and right, not too wet and not too dry. His kiss was carnal, deep, desperate, and I felt dizzy, breathless. The weight of his muscular body pinning me to the edge of my bed, seconds from pushing me onto the mattress. But I wasn't going to cheat on Dean, no matter what I felt. It wasn't who I was. So despite the tingle sizzling down my spine and to my toes, I jerked my head to the side, looking at the floor and pinching my lips together. I covered my mouth with one hand to make sure he didn't try to do it again. Get out of my room, Vicious, I said through my shaking fingers. It was my turn to order him. He stared at me intently for a few heartbeats. I saw him from the corner of my eye, angry and defeated. It was the first time I'd hurt him back, and even that was only because I absolutely had to. I wasn't a cheater. But not hurting Dean felt like crap because I'd hurt Vicious instead. It took him a few seconds, perhaps less, to compose himself. Then he leaned forward.
Ask me again,
he said for the third time, a sly smile on his face. I closed my eyes and shook my head no. I was done playing his twisted game.
Ask me how she tasted when I kissed her tonight after we threw you out of the media room. Your sister, Rosie.
His voice was velvet, but his words were poison, and I crumbled inside. It hurt me more than I could ever describe, because I knew it was true. He sliced through my flesh, leaving pain with every stroke of his imaginary knife.
Let me give you your answer, help. She tasted like you, but sweeter.
Chapter 7 Vicious. The present. It's open. Help waltzed in, and holy fuck, what the hell was she wearing? She looked like she'd gotten lost in Keith Richards' closet and barely survived to tell the tale. She wore leopard leggings, ripped at the knees, a black justice tee, the band, not the philosophical theory, a checked raincoat, and cowboy boots. Her lavender hair was mostly covered by a beanie, and she held two Starbucks coffees, taking a sip from one. She looked like the PA of the CEO of a multi-million-dollar financial company, like I looked like a prima ballerina. If this was another way to show me she didn't give a shit, it worked. Hey, she slid one of the Starbucks cups across my desk. It bumped into my forearm. I glanced at it without touching it, returning my eyes to my laptop screen. What the fuck is this? I wasn't completely sure if I was referring to her outfit or the Starbucks. Was this Halloween? I checked my calendar just in case. Nope. We were definitely deep into December.
Your coffee. Your breakfast awaits in the kitchen.
She threw her Harley Quinn courier bag across the brown leather sofa in the corner of my office. It took everything in me not to toss the coffee against the wall and send her on her way back to unemployment. I reminded myself that I hadn't hired help for her magnificent PA skills or her fashion sense. I needed her. She was part of a bigger plan, and I was gearing up to execute it. Soon she was going to be worth the money and the glitzy apartment. And she is better than my ex-psychiatrist for the testimony, with her big, innocent eyes. Fuck. The apartment. In my quest to convince her to take the job, I threw out a lot of shit I needed to back up now. I sucked in my cheeks, feeling my jaw locking. Get me my breakfast, I hissed out.
No,
she replied evenly, clearing her throat and tilting her chin up.
Your Highness, I request that you go to the kitchen and have breakfast with your loyal subjects. I believe it's important that you familiarize yourself with your colleagues. Did you know that half the floor is sitting in there right now? It's French Toast Friday.
She tilted her chin even higher, inspecting me. Of course I didn't fucking know that. The very notion of getting out of my office and spending time with those people who I didn't know or care about was making my insides bleed. She stared me down. and I wondered what was going through her little purple head. Actually, I was also interested in the origins of that lavender hair. I didn't hate it. It suited her round face and eccentric style. She knew. Amelia LeBlanc fucking knew she could bring a man to his knees, so she never bothered with pretty dresses and makeup. She wasn't a tomboy. In fact, today she was even dressed up in her own weird way. Her hair was always a mess, though, and she looked like one of those urban New York chicks who carried professional cameras around, taking photos of their prêt-à-manger breakfasts and pinning them on Pinterest, genuinely believing that they were legit photographers. And still, I knew Help well enough to recognize that she wasn't being pretentious. She really was an artist, the best painter I knew. "Vicious?" she asked. I slammed down my laptop screen, leveling my eyes at her. "Get me my breakfast. Unless you want to get back to bussing tables in a French maid uniform." My voice dripped ice. It calmed my nerves a little. She squinted at me, not budging. I'd forgotten how hard to tame she was, and I'd definitely forgotten how much it turned me on. "You won't fire me. You need something from me. Heck if I know what, but if you're so desperate you gave me a job, I have a feeling I can bend you a little too." She wiggled her brows and let out a throaty chuckle. "Come on. It'll be fun to meet the people you work with." I hated that she had leverage over me and that she knew it. Help, of course, was right. We needed each other. She needed my money and I needed her cooperation. Weighing the situation, I decided to pick my battles. "Let's make one thing clear so that there won't be any future confusion. I'd hate to kick your ass on your second day, but I also won't hesitate to do so. You're my employee, hence I make the rules. The moment you signed that contract, you became mine. You will serve me. You will obey me. You will help me. Understood?" Our gaze is locked, and I allowed myself to get sucked into those blue eyes for exactly 2 seconds. They were Smurf blue today. Probably not the best analogy, but shit if it wasn't the truth. Help's eye color constantly changed according to her mood. She arched an eyebrow. "You promise what you want me to do isn't illegal?" "It's not illegal," I said. Of course it was illegal. "Nothing of a sexual nature?" she proceeded. I threw her a condescending glance as if mocking the very idea. She was going to have sex with me, but of her own free will. She blinked, clearing her throat, shaking her head. "So, Help needs some help with breaking the spell. Fine, you got yourself a deal. Let's go. But I'm fucking warning you, I hate French toast." Spending time with my staff reminded me why humans were my least favorite creatures. We all sat at a round white table, and I glared at my cold toast and egg white omelet with little appetite. Help laughed a hearty laugh, the type I had never heard before she moved to California, as she showed the geriatric receptionist something on her iPad. They cooed and exchanged grins, and I wanted to know what they were talking about, but didn't ask. Then the receptionist said she was retiring at the end of January, and Help jumped at the opportunity to organize her farewell party, as if she was going to be around that long. Whatever. I wasn't going to burst her bubble just yet. People made small talk with each other, but barely acknowledged me. My employees at this New York branch were timid and wary of me whenever I was here in person, which wasn't very often. They were used to Dean, who might have been a sleazeball, but was also a pretty decent boss. I was cold, more detached, and when I got angry, I'd yell at the person who fucked up so loud the glass walls in the office would rattle. They treated me like I was a ticking bomb and asked the dumbest, most boring questions. "So, how do you like New York? Is it very different from California?" "No shit, Sherlock. Have you done any of the holiday stuff? Ice skating in Central Park? Rockefeller at Christmas?" "Fuck yeah. I also took selfies of myself holding the Statue of Liberty in the palm of my hand and hung it over my fridge with an I Heart New York magnet." "How big is the Los Angeles branch?"
"Big enough to avoid all the people who work there with me." I'd always been antisocial. My popularity in high school blossomed through association. I hung out with outgoing people. Trent, Jamie, and Dean lived for the crowd. But me, I still liked the silence, the humming sound of expensive electronics in my Los Feliz penthouse, and nothing more. Well, maybe the slurping of a nameless woman beneath me as she sucked on my cock, specifically one with a hair color like Help's. That made the fantasy so much more realistic. Anything else was pointless noise I wanted to eliminate from my ears. I'm done, I announced to help after 15 minutes, getting up from my chair. She was still engrossed in conversation, this time with the New York branch's chief accountant. He was fairly young for a senior accountant, a preppy New Englander who probably graduated from an Ivy League school, reeked of privilege, a guy like me. Amelia, I snapped my fingers twice like she was my pet. Help swiveled her head, giving me her unimpressed look before resuming her conversation with him. At this point, the guy turned mute and kept stealing glances at me like I was the Grim Reaper. I got him, I did. I was young. So fucking young to be a CEO. People didn't achieve this level of power at 28. But the Hotholes and I, we'd had our fair share of shortcuts, what with the ability to invest millions of family dollars in our business from the very first year. Wealth attracted more wealth. And with Jamie, Dean, and me putting $10 million in FHH back when we founded the company, we saw a return quicker than the average idiot entrepreneur. We'd created a monster, and we were in charge of it. That made me even more formidable than your usual CEO, and the young accountant knew it. If you're not in my office in 60 seconds, I'll just assume you've resigned, I said easily before I turned around and left. On my way back to my office, I kicked the HR manager's door open and proceeded, without even looking at the person who occupied the desk. The accountant kid. How good is he? Floyd? He's good. Been here for 3 years now. Mr. Cole never complained. The middle-aged woman behind the desk looked at me like she didn't want me there. That made two of us. Send him to my office immediately. Is there a problem? I closed the door without answering her, then stormed back to my office where help already stood. Good. At least she knew that my generosity and willingness to make this work had its limits. She was focused on her iPad and seemed to give zero shits about my semi-tantrum. Book a flight to San Diego for this afternoon, I barked, and arrange for my father's limo to take us to Todos Santos. Without a glance at her, I fell into my executive chair and rolled it toward my laptop, pushing my sleeves up. Us? I'll need the other person's name for the ticket. She tapped on her device, the trace of a smile still on her lips. The other person is you. My voice was flat. Her eyes arrowed from the screen to me. I can't leave my sister. I clearly remember you agreeing not to argue with me, help. Don't start a war with me. I come equipped. That was before I realized my sister's health could be compromised. I cut her off. Rosie will have a private nurse attending to her while you're gone. Have my people move her to your new apartment today. I scrawled the address of the building where I was living. I wasn't stupid enough to tell her I was living in Dean's apartment. The Hotholes had invested in a few smaller units in the building. One was a corporate place we used as backup if we were all in town at once. Also a convenient place to get laid. The apartment was vacant and minimally furnished. That was more than enough for these two. And what do you know, this apartment has heat, I added, remembering the cold, drafty hallway in her ancient brownstone. She shoved one of her hands deep into those pink-purple locks and massaged her skull in frustration. Seeing her sweating made my cock twitch. Luckily, I was behind a desk. She had no way out. This was happening. I'll call Rosie and see what I can do, she muttered, her eyes shooting daggers at me. Blue with light purple hair and that Harley Quinn courier bag. How could you not want to fuck this chick? Of course I was hard. She looked like a rainbow. Here's a friendly reminder. Your sister's not your boss. I am. So you better not come back with the wrong answer. I twisted to my laptop when I heard a knock on the door. Come in, I called out, and Floyd entered my office, reeking of Brooks Brothers. You wanted to see me, Mr. Spencer? He stuttered, smoothing his starched shirt. He looked like he might have shit his pants. I was hoping he had, because that would absolutely kill any chance of him and help ever hooking up. I nodded at him while Amelia gave us a hooded glance, wrinkles knitting the corners of her eyes. I'll get out of your way then, she said, and turned to leave. Stay, I ordered sharply and pushed back, sprawled in my chair. I'd always been comfortable with other people's defenselessness. Close the door and take a seat, Floyd. You too, Miss LeBlanc. They did as they were told, and I took a deep breath. I needed to tread lightly on this one, but I needed to remind Floyd, who was in charge, more. Who am I? I asked Floyd before he had a chance even to make himself comfortable in the chair in front of my desk. He shifted in his seat, rubbing the back of his neck and throwing a glance toward help before his eyes landed back on me. The CEO of Fiscal Heights Holdings, he said. Try again. I knitted my fingers together, leaning back and tapping my two index fingers on my lips. Ms. LeBlanc, who am I? A sadistic jerk? She examined her nails. And my blood fucking boiled. I felt it bubbling in my veins as I grinned away my anger, anger that quickly turned into delight. I liked her sassy. Floyd, on the other hand, gasped in horror. Wrong. Try again. I turned to him. Your turn.
Baron Spencer, he said.
Ms. LeBlanc, I asked, even though I knew she'd be rude. This wasn't an argument. This was foreplay. She just didn't know it yet.
The world's worst neighbor? I think I'm beginning to enjoy this game.
Floyd? My eyes landed back on him. One last chance to get it right. He looked so miserable, sweaty and helpless and confused. I knew that if this leaked, I was going to get shit from Jamie, Dean, and Trent for the next century. Among us, I was known as the one who always took it a little too far with the staff.
You're my boss,
Floyd stammered finally, fucking finally, getting it right.
You're my boss, Mr. Spencer,
he repeated louder when he saw the approval in my expression. That I am, I agreed, crashing my palm onto my glass desk. I'm your boss. He jumped in surprise. Help didn't flinch. And I remind you, I continued, I've built this company with everything I have in me. I'll be damned if something as foolish and careless as an office fling will stain the reputation of FHH. Recognition dawned in his expression. Floyd knew where I was going with this. Office romances were something I didn't tolerate. I gave Trent shit about it, and Trent was a childhood friend and the owner of 25% of the company. He'd fucked his way into 3 sexual harassment lawsuits in 3 years. I swear, sometimes it felt like 15% of our revenue went straight to making sure the employees he fucked and dumped stayed silent. Sexual harassment, my ass. The women who'd sued had wanted Trent's dick more than I wanted Floyd's stupid-ass, tennis-loving, hipster-glasses-wearing limp body out of my fucking vicinity. There was no way I was letting Justin Timberlake Jr. with his secondhand Brooks Brothers suits fuck things up for me with help. Do we understand each other? I said, glancing between them. No more flirting.
Oh, sir. Floyd looked horrified by the idea. We were just talking. This is a big misunderstanding. Millie told me she used to work for an accountant. I would never... I've worked so hard to get where I am today. We were mingling, that's all. Actually, I told her about the show I started watching, Arrow. She said she'd look into it too. Anyway, I have a girlfriend.
Of course he did. Now Help knew that too. I could see I'd pissed her off. Her lips had thinned into a hard line. Her small hands curled into fists until she had to tuck them between her thighs. She looked like she was on the brink of punching both of us. Her anger turned me on, and I made a mental note to warn her to keep her feelings to herself unless she wanted me to throw her over my shoulder and fuck her against the glass wall of my office. As long as you know the drill, I told Floyd, deciding I'd inflicted enough torture on him for one day. I threw my phone on the glass desk, shrugging. You're excused, Mr.
Hanningham, Floyd said, nodding at me as eagerly as a newly trained dog. I understand perfectly, sir. It won't happen again.
He rushed for the door before I changed my mind and fired him. After he left, I turned back to my computer and resumed working, ignoring the fact Help was still there, her eyes on me, looking like she was about to stab a stapler into my chest. A grin tickled my mouth, but I didn't let it loose. She was here, she was angry, and she was going to spend the weekend with me in Todos Santos. Those were the simple facts. And I was going to fuck her at some point. This was an assumption, but I was rarely wrong.
You're pissing me off, she said quietly, her eyes still searching my face.
And that's turning me on, I retorted, my voice flat. So you might want to tone down the hate glares if you don't want to find yourself being fucked on this desk with the blinds still open. I was still staring at my screen, working on the merger deal I was eager to get signed before Christmas, but I could see from my peripheral that she had paled. I liked how, once again, I'd gotten under her skin. Quickly.
You're disgusting, she muttered,
still staring at me, but not in a way that suggested she was appalled. I cracked my neck, opening my browser and checking the stocks on the screen, skimming through the greens and the reds. That may well be, but I'm balls deep in your fucking head, Help, and there's nothing you can do about it. Her eyes glittered with rage, and fuck, I was so hard, and fuck, she was so beautiful. This was so on. I was gonna fuck Dean's ex-girlfriend, use her for my personal needs, and toss her away when I was done. and after choosing the wrong guy, there was no doubt in my mind she deserved it, too.
You just gave Floyd a lecture about the inter-office fraternization policy. No mixing business and pleasure.
She leaned forward. Her elbow touched my finger accidentally, and she jerked it away. I met her halfway, erasing the space between us across the desk. Correction. Guys like Floyd won't give you pleasure. Men like me would. Besides, the man likes Arrow, I drawled, as if this alone was a reason to fire him. To me, it was.
You know what your problem is, Vicious? You still haven't decided if you hate me or like me. That's why you act like this every time I'm around other men.
There wasn't a trace of embarrassment in her voice. She owned up to this. What she didn't know was that I knew exactly how I felt about her. I hated her, but was attracted to her. It was really that simple. You know what I feel right now, Ms. LeBlanc? I feel like you need to pack a fucking bag and start making the necessary arrangements. You're coming with me to California, whether you like it or not.
Chapter 8. Emilia. You realize it sounds shady as hell, Rosie said between coughs while I packed all of our worldly possessions and tucked them into plastic trash bags in our studio apartment. I was going to miss this place. Even though our mattress was located less than a foot from the stove and had a hole in it the size of my head, and even though we had to jump to reach the top kitchen cabinets where we stored clothes, it still felt bittersweet to let go. This was where we'd made memories. Happy, funny, sad, emotional memories. This is where we'd danced to music and cried in front of crap B-movies and eaten junk food until our stomachs hurt. Where I'd painted canvases and sold my art for actual money. Where I'd helped Rosie with her nursing degree, staying up nights to quiz her from doorstop thick books. Now we were moving to one of the most exclusive luxury buildings in Manhattan, but I was anything but happy about it. I was frightened. I knew Vicious had plans for me, and I was absolutely positive that whatever those plans were, he was going to cash in on my fat salary. But I didn't want Rosie to worry about it. Well, he said it wasn't sexual or illegal, so at least we know he's not going to sell me across the border or make me kill someone. I fake laughed, balling up another one of my dresses and stuffing it inside a duffel bag. I was packing up our stuff as fast as I could. I'd changed from work, opting for my black faux leather tights and pink pom-pom sweater, and I knew I didn't have time to change again before the limo picked me up to head to JFK. But I tried to convince myself that looking plain and messy was the best approach. I didn't want Vicious to get the wrong idea. Even though he was still cold and rude to me, I'd noticed the way he looked at me. It was the same way I'd looked at him when I would sneak into the football field in high school to watch him play all those years ago. We liked what we saw. But I reminded myself that this man didn't do relationships. He did destructions, and one of his past projects was my life. I zipped up the duffel and pulled a few more trash bags from a drawer, throwing canned goods, coffee, sugar, and everything else we had that was non-perishable inside. We were going to take our food with us. Vicious might have advanced me part of my obscenely large salary, but we still needed to be careful with our money. Very much so. Despite the contract he'd made me sign, I didn't know how long I'd last as his employee. And despite what he thought, I was no fool. I was still going to look for a different job, even if it paid a fraction of the salary. Being at that man's mercy was like getting comfortable inside a golden cage with a hungry tiger. Rosie followed me with her gaze, still lying on our mattress and coughing into a crumpled piece of toilet paper. You're a bold hoe, sis. I can't believe you agreed to work for the Undertaker after what he did to you. It's the second time you've let him buy you. Little Rose was the only one who knew what happened on my 18th birthday. I refused to let her words get to me, though. She was the main reason why I'd taken the job in the first place. People do things for lots of reasons. Or do you have another idea of how to pay for our lives in New York? I muttered. I don't care about our money situation. I wouldn't work for Baron Spencer. Rosie jutted out her chin, defiant. But you'd certainly kiss him. I turned my back to her, throwing a jar of strawberry jam and a pack of cookies into a bag full of junk food. It was a cheap shot, but I couldn't help myself. Rosie coughed some more. That's ancient history. Get over it. I was 15, and he was gorgeous. He still is, I thought bitterly. And he was mine. No, he wasn't. Dean was mine. Rosie had kissed Vicious because she didn't know I had feelings for him. And after that night, she'd chased him around like an eager puppy until Vicious told her he was drunk when he kissed her and that she needed to get over herself. I remembered that night like it was yesterday. He wasn't drunk. He was stone cold sober. It was after he saw Dean and me, when he knew we were making out. I'd hurt him, so he'd wanted to hurt me back. So he'd kissed my sister. I turned to face her, and for a moment I felt a lot less guilty about leaving her with a nurse for the weekend. Then she coughed, and the familiar stab of protectiveness returned. Are you sure you'll be okay without me? I asked. She gave me a sideways look and rolled her eyes. Yes, Mom. I knew better than to buy it. She looked pale. Her eyes were red-rimmed, and her nose and upper lip were peeling with dry skin. What was I thinking, leaving her here in New York with a nurse I didn't even know? I realized she was 25 and perfectly capable, but she still had a lung infection and a mouth that could start a war, or at the very least get her into a lot of trouble. Thanks for doing all the packing for me, dude. She waved her hand toward the mountain of trash bags and boxes that had basically taken over the whole room. I plopped down on the futon beside her and hugged her tight. She buried her nose in my shoulder. Hey, Millie?
Yeah?
Don't fall in love with him again. I saw how you reacted after you found out we kissed. What you went through after you left Todos Santos. You can work for him, but you can't let him get to you like that ever again. You're too good for that. For him. Just as I was about to respond, the buzzer sounded. My heart jumped into my throat, which was ridiculous because I knew it couldn't be him at the door downstairs. Be right down, I said into the speaker. But when I peered out the window and saw a man wearing a chauffeur's uniform standing next to a big, shiny black car, I froze. It was all happening too fast. I felt like I hadn't had enough time to get myself together, to prepare. I stared at the driver, a physical reminder of how different I was from my boss. I wasn't used to being served. I'd always been the servant. Me, my parents. Vicious was right in calling me help. Not that it wasn't rude, but it was the truth nonetheless. I grabbed the duffel and looked at Rosie. The movers should be here soon. They'll put the furniture in storage. Another way I planned to hedge my bets. The nurse will be waiting for you at the new apartment. I arranged for a taxi to pick you up in an hour. Oh, and your medicine is in your backpack. I jerked my chin to the bag I'd packed for her. Rosie offered another eye roll and threw a pillow in my direction. I dodged it. Try not to piss the nurse off, I suggested with a straight face. Sorry, I piss everyone off. It's the way I'm wired. She shrugged helplessly. Don't forget to take your medicine, and there's a list of restaurants that deliver in your backpack. I put some cash in your wallet, too. Jesus, dude. Thank God you're not trying to wipe my ass. Rosie could mock me all she wanted. I didn't care if I annoyed her. But she was going to be okay, and I was going to see our parents. It had been 2 years. Lord, I'd missed them. Please tell Mama I got fat and that I'm dating a 40-year-old biker who goes by the name Rat. Rosie sniffled, patting her nose with the wad of toilet paper. Okay, that will soften the blow when I tell her I'm knocked up with twins and have no idea who the father is. Rosie giggled, coughed, and slapped her hand over her mouth, feigning an oops. I think Mama would like that, actually. She blew a strand of her toffee-colored hair out of her eyes. Have fun, okay?
Hey, it's Vicious. Fun is his middle name.
No, honey. Asshole is his middle name. We both laughed. I grabbed the strap of my duffel and descended the stairs, smiling to myself. I could do this. I could survive a business trip with Vicious without letting him into my pants, and more importantly, my heart. I just had to keep my eyes on the prize. The money. The means. The key to financial freedom. How hard could that be?
I met him at the airport. He wore a long, dark gray pea coat, charcoal slacks, a cashmere sweater, and his usual scowl.
He was standing outside, the freezing New York weather staining his cheekbones a dark shade of pink while he puffed on a blunt, on the sidewalk of the airport. I was a little surprised to see he was still smoking weed. He had when we were teenagers, but he was 28 now, a workaholic, and a control freak. Granted, he'd always been a control freak. He just had less things to control when we were kids. I jogged the short distance from the limo to him, rubbing my arms against the cold. I'd thrown an army jacket on over my thin pink sweater, but my thrift shop jacket didn't stand a chance against December on the East Coast. I stopped a few feet from him and started swaying from side to side to warm up. He noticed, but didn't offer his coat.
You're getting a little old for that,
I remarked, slanting my eyes to his joint.
I'll remember that next time I give two shits about what you think.
He blew a cloud of smoke into the air.
I knew that the hotholes had always viewed me as the naive goody-two-shoes girl from the South. They weren't wrong. Even New York couldn't harden me all the way.
I'd still never smoked weed or tried any other type of drug. I still didn't use words like fuck. I still blushed and looked away when people talked about sex in an explicit way.
You could get arrested, I continued, nagging. Not that I particularly cared. I just knew it annoyed him, and I liked irritating him. It gave me the false notion that I had some kind of control over him.
So can you,
he replied.
Get arrested? I asked. For what, standing next to an ass?
He stubbed out his blunt against a garbage can, his fingers so white they were almost blue, and flicked the butt to the sidewalk. A luggage cart wheeled by and crushed the remains of the weed into the concrete. Vicious leaned down toward me, and I held my breath, my lungs burning, anything to protect me from his addictive scent.
If I answer your question,
he said, his body close,
you'll get all feisty again. You blush every time you look directly at my face, so I'd advise against asking me about what I have in mind. Don't tempt me, help. I'd be happy to help you stain your pristine criminal record with a public indecency charge.
Good Lord. For a lawyer, you seem to be begging for a sexual harassment lawsuit. Why?
I rubbed my hands over my thighs. I started to remember why I'd wanted to slap him half the time when I lived so close to him.
I'm not sure.
His thick, dark eyebrows pulled together. He headed toward the entrance of the terminal. I followed.
Maybe because I know you'll never have the balls to go against me. To fight me, help.
And it was high school all over again. I should have known.
After security, we turned toward the airline's executive lounge, with me carrying my own duffel and Vicious luggageless, except for a laptop bag. I tried to keep up, but he was taller and faster, and the weight of my bag was slowing me down. He didn't like it. Vicious glanced at my duffel before groaning and snatching it from my hand. This wasn't him being a gentleman. He just wanted to make sure we caught our flight. JFK was packed with people. Snow was settling on the runways, and there were flight delays, white letters flashing on the blue electronic screens around us. The crowd was thick, the security people tired and aggravated, but still, Christmas was approaching and the air was sweet and hopeful. Seeing my parents this time of year would be nice, even if we weren't going to spend the holidays together. I glanced at Vicious. I feel like we should set some ground rules here. I'm not going to date you, and I expect you to stop threatening men who talk to me. Floyd, for instance.
First of all, no one wants to date you, Help. I want to fuck you, and by the way you look at me, I know the feeling is mutual. Second, it's my company, so I make it my business to know when my employees are porking each other in the bathroom.
As we breezed into the executive lounge, I blushed so hard I felt as if my cheeks were going to burst into flames. He was being crass again, deliberately so.
Third, I did you a huge favor. The guy is a piece of crap of the worst variety.
He directed us both straight to two plush recliners arranged to face one another. We both took a seat. There was plenty of food and coffee around, even alcohol. I'd never been in an airport lounge or flown first class, so this was new to me, but neither of us opted for anything. I assumed he was used to this kind of luxury. Me? I was too stunned to make a move. It felt like entering a universe where I didn't speak the language or know the social codes.
Fourth, you don't want a last name like Hanningham,
Vicious finished. It was so ridiculous, I started laughing. Actually, I might have also laughed because I was so nervous to board a flight headed back to Todos Santos. I wanted to see my parents, but dreaded seeing anyone else. A troubling thought stabbed at me. Will Dean be there? Is he still living in Todos Santos? Vicious's jaw twitched the way it did when he was unhappy about something. His grip on the arms of the recliner tightened.
Dean's in Los Angeles,
he answered, glancing at his Rolex. I was glad I didn't have to see my ex-boyfriend after everything that went down. I eased further into my comfortable seat, closing my eyes. I wondered if I could catch up on some sleep on the plane. I'd worked a shift in McCoy's last night. I was hedging more bets, not willing to hand in my notice yet. I felt his eyes on me, but he didn't utter a word. I liked when he watched me, and that bothered me. And he was right about sex, and that bothered me even more. I did want to sleep with him. It was worse than those butterflies that take flight in your chest the first moment your eyes lock on your crush. When I was around Vicious, they flew all the time. But I also knew that I was not a one-night stand kind of girl. And even though I wasn't morally opposed to casual sex, starting something up with Vicious was an absolute no-no. We shared a history. I had feelings for him. Bad feelings, good feelings, in short, too many feelings. Where are the rest of the guys? I murmured, my eyes still closed. Yesterday, I'd done my homework. I knew they were all partners in FHH, and I knew the branches of their company were scattered around the world, but I didn't know who lived where. And Dean living in Los Angeles? That was a surprise. Dean loved New York, talked about living there even when we were teenagers. It was Vicious who always preferred the glitz and plastic, the masks and pretense of Los Angeles. For a cynical person, he really seemed to hate the stark, naked honesty that was a city like Manhattan. In L.A., he was another beautiful, empty mask passing for a human being.
Dean was in New York until about 2 weeks ago. Then I took over. I'm not sure when we're switching back, but when it happens, I'll go back to L.A. Trent is in Chicago, and Jamie is in London.
You switch branches often? He shrugged.
About twice a year.
Sounds confusing and pretty dumb, I mumbled.
Well, I appreciate the insight, especially from someone who's been serving beer for a living.
Silence fell, and I looked away, taking in the polished women and suited men around me. As far as I was concerned, the conversation had ended the second he'd decided to act like a jerk again.
We don't usually switch places for more than a week.
Vicious gritted out of nowhere.
Special circumstances kept me in New York.
It was his version of an apology, but I still wasn't satisfied. I only shrugged.
How long have you been supporting your sister?
His eyes skimmed down my body. Regret swallowed the sarcasm and edge in his voice. He wasn't used to being nice to people, to being civilized, really, though he seemed to be trying. I licked my lips, refusing to make eye contact. Too long, I admitted. Is Jamie still with? I trailed off when I realized it was none of my business. Vicious's best friend had dated our lit teacher, Miss Green, while we were seniors. Their affair blew up shortly before we graduated, making waves in Todos Santos and a tsunami in our high school. Then he took off with her after the school year ended. Vicious huffed, and even though my eyes were still closed, I knew he nodded yes.
They're married. They have a baby girl, Daria. Took after her mom, thank fuck.
That made me smile. How is he doing? I asked, knowing it was a territory Vicious would feel comfortable with.
Jamie has assumed the role of the responsible adult out of the four of us. When Trent, Dean, and I get out of line, he talks some sense into our asses.
His candor made me turn my head toward him. You were always good together, the four of you. A dark smirk found his lips, and he shrugged tiredly.
Until you came along.
It didn't sound like a jab. He said it more matter-of-factly. I wanted to ask him so many questions. Why me? What was the fixation with me to begin with? Why did you care that I dated Dean? Vicious was a god among men to the girls of All Saints High. Good-looking, rich, and a jock. I should never have been on his radar. Dean was more easygoing, playful. I could see why he'd wanted to date someone like me. But Vicious, he'd hated me. I let out a sigh of relief when they announced our flight was boarding. We got on the plane before everyone else. We were scheduled to land in San Diego, a short half-hour drive from Todos Santos, and would arrive by early evening with the time change. But after explaining everything to Rosie and packing up the apartment, exhaustion found me, lulling me into the kind of sleepiness you can't fight. And anyway, staying awake and dealing with Vicious wasn't an option that I found particularly appealing. The minute I landed in my first class seat, I nuzzled.